Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner that has a product, service, or message that you truly believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look at real-world networking and marketing tactics while leveraging LinkedIn to get what you have in front of many more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited for today's episode. Obviously, you know, it's a Thursday, so this is another interview episode. So I know how much you guys have appreciated them and really love hearing the stories and journeys of other people. And why I'm excited about today's interview is that even though we're 4 years past the pandemic, a lot of things happened in 2020 for individuals, businesses, organizations, and it was a time to pivot. And, you know, my wife and I, as you guys know, we were kind of primed and ready for a lot of people jumping into the online space at what we'd been doing for years. But other people in different industries had to make other decisions, but also other pivots in order to, you know, really, really get their business to where they needed to be. So Tony Rendondo is our guest today. And just to give you a little bit of background on Tony before we dive in, after qualifying as an associate for the Chartered Institute of Bankers in the City of London in 1991, Tony held senior management positions for many years for various banks and brokerages before launching Cosmos Currency Exchange in the middle of the pandemic in 2020, which a lot of people would think was kind of crazy doing that in the middle of the pandemic. But, you know, you don't get to where you want to be by playing it safe. You got to take risks if you want to reap the rewards. And at Cosmos, he believes in one-size-fits-all business models practiced by the banks, online brokers, and payment apps do not fit anyone well. So with that behind us, Tony, welcome to today's episode.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you for having me.
So my first question, not that it's a loaded question, but not using the pandemic as kind of the end-all be-all, but if you could rewind the tape, you know, through your journey through life and business, and you could press stop at a moment where you really felt that that was kind of the catalytic moment for you that kind of put you into the banking industry, the finance industry, the currency industry, that really turned that light bulb of interest and intrigue on for you. What was that moment for you?
I would love to come up with a snappy answer, Scott. I really would. But it was more for me personally, it was a gradual process, born out of a 35-year career, half of it in the City of London. And what I saw was a gradual move away from personal service, away from relationships to technology only. I mean, bear in mind, I started my career way back in 1985. So there was no computers, there was no internet, there was no email, there's no credit scoring. And banking and business had been done the way it had been done for hundreds of years by human beings talking to one another. And then computers came in sort of mid-90s, and then the internet took off with the dot-com, that resulted in the dot-com bubble in 2002. And I guess whilst there wasn't one single light bulb moment, there was a straw that broke the camel's back. And that was around about 2015, 16. When I was working for one of the leading currency brokers in the UK, very successful business, had been bought out by a hedge fund. So, you know, a pretty slick operation. And then, and the business had been, I was the 14th member of staff of that business way back in 8 years previously. There were then 170 staff, you know, so seen tremendous growth. And the business has been built on traditional business models and business development models, but with a large portion of referral-based and repeat business. And then all of a sudden, got bought out by these hedge funds. Obviously, they had certain dividend demands. And all of a sudden, management decided that any client wanting to trade below a certain level wasn't worthy of our time and had to self-service on an online platform that had been created. Now, the problem with that, in my view, is that it's incredibly short-sighted. Because what had happened for years is I'd had clients who I'd help buy, say, you know, a British couple buy a property in Florida. So a chunk of money goes across from the UK to USA. And then over the course of the years, they upgrade the kitchen, they change the air conditioning, they reline the swimming pool, they buy cars, family goes over, kids go over. So there's loads and loads and loads of small payments going through on a regular basis. Each one by itself is not particularly profitable, but a relationship is maintained. And then what I saw over my career over many years, Scott, was there comes a time when I get a phone call. And the phone call is the couple are now grandparents, they're now elderly. And the phone call goes along the lines of, Tony, the grandparents, even the grandkids are fed up with Florida. Nobody wants to go to Florida anymore. They've been there so many times. And the trouble is, we're now getting a bit old to climb up on the roof and clean out the gutters when we're there. It then costs money to get somebody else to do it. So we're thinking of selling the property, but we have no idea how the US banking system works. Can you help us? So all of a sudden, you know, there's a chunk of dollars to come back to the UK where we've had no marketing costs, no advertising costs. And then all of a sudden, management of that firm decided that, you know, we don't make any money on a little £5,000 trade or a £20,000 trade. It's not worthy of our time. Let them go online, which is fine in theory, but these people are in their 80s. They're like phoning and speaking to a human being. They like the idea of having a little chat and I know the name of their dog and, you know, and their favorite football team or whatever the case may be. It's that little bit of social interaction. And to me, that we had no option. So I then spent, I remember one of my last acts at our firm is spending 42 minutes on a phone call trying to explain to one of these clients how to register online. Because they just didn't get it. They just couldn't get it. They got timed out. Then there was a security message that went in, but they couldn't work out how to use the mobile phone and the PC at the same time. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous because I could spend 2 minutes, phone call, how are you doing? Are you well? Kids all right? Everything well? What do you need? You need this? No problem. When do you need the funds in America by? So and so, leave it with me. Leave it with me. Get on with your retirement. Leave it with me. I'll give you a call when the timing is right. Instead, I'm spending 42 minutes trying to guide somebody through a system they don't want to do. And I thought, there is a gap in the market here. And that was the, if there was a light bulb moment, that was it. There is a definite gap in the market where, yes, we can take advantage of the technology that's available, but we will take advantage of the technology on behalf of the client. So as far as the client's concerned, it's a one-to-one phone call with a human being. It's up to us to use the appropriate technology in the appropriate way, in the appropriate time, to help the client out. And that was it. From that moment on, I started researching.
That's amazing. And again, I think, you know, we all have different light bulb moments and different things that, you know, come up during our journey through business. And, you know, it's making sure that people are satisfied with whatever service is being provided, I think is paramount. But also, I love how repeat business is some of the best business, but also referral business is some of the best business. And that's kind of almost what Cosmos is predicated on, is doing great work for people where your name is dropped and people are then referred to you. And nothing feels better than, you know, that part of marketing and advertising for a business when it's other people doing it for you without you really you're not paying them to be your marketing company. They're just so satisfied with what is going on that they're happy to do it. Now, when the pandemic hit, so just give the audience a little bit of a snapshot of where Tony was, you know, December 2019, you know, the calendar is about to roll over to 2020. And then, you know, March 15th hits and literally the world was flipped upside down. What were you working on, you know, obviously in those 90 days leading up to the pandemic that obviously allowed the company to be born?
Sure. Well, my timing was impeccable, like a lot of people in that time, in that I registered Cosmos on the 20th of January. Pretty much ready to go straight away. And we were just doing the sort of the final touches when Boris Johnson, the then UK Prime Minister, announced the first lockdown, which came as completely, it'd been talked about in the news. I was one of those people that said it's never going to happen. You know, this country never even locked down during either World War. We're not going to lock down for a little virus. You know, it's a flu virus. So what? I was one of those kind of people that had that kind of approach. So I was astonished. So all of a sudden we decided to just put the brakes on. And the reason I decided to put the brakes on is because a lot of my contacts at the time were property related. And of course, with a lockdown, all those property deals would, depending on the length of the lockdown, could either just get delayed or completely go up in smoke, because obviously nobody could move, nobody could travel, nobody could view, nobody could do anything. And that was actually meant quite a difficult period. And obviously, the start of a business is always a bit stressful and difficult. But against that background, it was particularly so. And I'm not going to lie, there were, you know, plenty of nights where I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, what have I done? kind of thing. But actually, looking back on it with the benefit of hindsight, Scott, it was the best thing that could have happened. And the reason was that in those months of April, May and June, before we launched, we then eventually launched on the 1st of July, I started getting phone calls, because even though talking to clients has become deeply unfashionable in my industry, it was the only way I know how to work, so I've always done it. And so clients started calling me saying, Tony, you know, you might remember me. I used to deal for me in such and such a bank or brokerage or what have you, but I've got a problem, and I wonder if you can help me out. And the problems tended to relate to things like British manufacturers with American clients. And the typical journey is all of a sudden somebody gets an overseas client, they speak to their accountant. The accountant tells them to go and open up a dollar account at the bank. And then the invoice goes out with the dollar details of that British bank in the UK, in this example. What nobody explains to anybody, because of course the days when bank managers were bank managers are long gone, is that the American banking system has online banking, but only works domestically. So if you want an American client to move dollars outside of the United States, they need to physically go to the bank, pay $50 for the wire transfer to be made via SWIFT to the dollar account in the UK. Well, of course, with the lockdown, the banks were shut. So unless you have clients specifically in Florida that never shut down, all of a sudden I started getting phone calls from clients saying, these clients I've known them for 10, 15, 20 years, they say they can't pay me. And I say, that's right, they can't. Unless they're in Florida, they won't be able to. Well, is that, that well, what am I going to do? So they're going to hang tight, because it's something I've already been alerted to. It's something we're working on. So there is a solution. There is. Before 2012, there was a very simple solution, because lots of overseas brokers had dollar accounts in the United States. But then the Patriot Act was introduced, and that made it very difficult for non-US businesses to service US residents. Very difficult. But there was a solution. We found it. So we then had access to a dollar account in New York. So all of a sudden, various pain points go straight out to the window, Scott. First of all, the British manufacturer doesn't need to have his own dollar account, which costs money, setting up costs, monthly charges. They don't need that. They just need to register free of charge with Cosmos. The invoice then goes out with our dollar account details in New York, which means the client in the United States can just jump online and do a free of charge online transfer to New York in settlement of the fee. So they save $50 on a trip to the bank. The monies arrive. And again, unlike the automated payment system, where the dollars arrive today, get converted today, nothing happens automatic at Cosmos. So all that will happen is the dollars arrive, and I'll phone the client up and say, good news, your dollars are in. However, today is not a good day for selling dollars because this, this, and this. Do you have to do it straight away because of cash flow? Or can you wait? And if so, how long for? And then one of the things we always do with every client is we rate watch in accordance with the client's time frame. So this month, the client might say to me, you know, cash flow is tight, I need to do it straight away. Fair enough. We do it straight away. Within 24 hours, it's been converted and the sterling is credited to the account. But if the client says, you know, we've got 10 days or 5 days or 15 days, however long it is, again, we will be the client's eyes and ears in the market. We all monitor it. When we see an opportunity where, for example, last Friday with the American stellar non-farm payroll data, which was twice as good as forecast, the dollar's very strong at the moment again. So all I've been doing since 1:30 Friday afternoon until about 10 minutes ago is selling dollars to take advantage of that spike in the rates. So it's a very proactive approach, personalized to each client's individual requirements.
Yeah, and I think being a solution-oriented person instead of closed off, because, you know, I believe that for every problem, there's a solution. And to your point, there was, you know, you didn't have to wait for other places in the U.S. to open up. You found a leverageable point in with a New York City bank that allowed that flow of brokers across the pond to then still do work and business over, you know, in the U.S., which I think is just brilliant. So in looking back at that transition in launching your business during the pandemic, what do you feel was the biggest obstacle that you had to overcome, pandemic aside, whether there was a pandemic or going or not? What was the biggest obstacle that you guys faced that, in looking back, really helped you guys in learning more about, you know, what you're doing, who you're serving, and obviously where you're going into the future?
It was really had to be a change in mindset for us, in that to be completely, the good news was that I had 35 years experience. The bad news is for 35 years, I worked to somebody else's tune. And I was very much used to, you know, what do you need? This is what we can offer you. If your requirements can fit into what we offer you, I can help you. If not, we can't. And that kind of approach. And then all of a sudden, having to turn that around 180 degrees and treating every client like the individual they are and say to them, okay, Scott, what are your requirements? Forget what the bank has told you is possible, not possible. Just forget all that. What do you actually need and why? And try and build a solution that way around. One of the things that really helped me, Scott, and again, one of the real benefits that came out of COVID and the pandemic and the lockdowns is before the lockdowns, one of the things that really bothered me about setting up on my own was that I live in Cornwall in the extreme southwest of the UK. Lovely part of the world, very rural, beaches, countryside, not much industry. We haven't even got motorways. So really nice place to bring up a family and live. But we're 7 hours from London. We're 1.5 hours from the nearest motorway. So networking face-to-face was a nightmare because the nearest big city was a 3 hour each way car trip. And then all of a sudden, everybody goes online. And all of a sudden, networking goes online and all of a sudden I start meeting people in London and Edinburgh. And then there's somebody in Paris and then there's somebody in Madrid in Spain. And then there's somebody in Florida and then there's somebody in New York or Toronto or Dubai or South Africa. And the world opened up. And one of the things I've really enjoyed is the people I've met. It obviously is great from a contacts point of view, an introduction and referral business point of view. But actually, I found online networking to be the perfect practical university because of the range of people that I've met.
So obviously, this is going to be very intriguing to my audience. Obviously, there are a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners that believe in investing and having their money work for them instead of them working for their money. And I'm sure there's other stuff out there, but I always like having people tell people why we're different or why would someone go with Cosmos. So if someone was to ask you, you know, why Cosmos versus other products or services or companies out there, what would you say is the biggest difference between you guys and some of the other people out there doing what you guys do?
Absolutely, especially in the UK, the clients are not short of options. There are literally hundreds of payment solutions out there, whether it be the banks or online brokers or apps at the end of your fingertips on your mobile phone. Hundreds and hundreds in the UK alone, never mind worldwide. But they've all gone down the direction of technology only. Here's the platform. You self-service on the platform. You decide when you're going to buy or sell or convert or whatever you're going to do. You fill in all the banking details. We don't want to employ human beings because they want to get paid every month. Whereas our model is we pay for the technology once and then it's just income coming in. So it's up to you to do everything, Scott. That's the model. That's 99% of payment solutions. We're completely 180 degrees opposite to that. We have a platform. It is available 24/7. Less than 1% of our clients use the platform. What they want is a personalized service. What they want is our discovery call, where we sit down face to face, usually on Zoom or a similar, you know, video chat program, and have a chat with them and find out about their requirements, their attitude to risk, their availability of funds, what they're looking at doing, the time frame. And then we will put together a payment solution specific to meet their individual requirements.
I love that. So if you had to describe to the audience who is the best fit for the services that you guys provide at Cosmos, whether it's, you know, a small business, you know, with, or it could be a solopreneur, who do you guys best serve and why?
At its at the base, anybody that has a requirement to either send or receive monies overseas in a different currency to their native currency, we can service. But ultimately, what we tend to do more and more, about 30% of our business are with businesses. And that can be people who import or export, people that use overseas offices or overseas labor. For example, you know, freelancers abroad, that's a big market for us now. And 70% are personal requirements. And that ranges, Scott, from property purchases, sales and rentals, to inheritance, work, wills, trusts and probate, to paying study fees, to paying medical bills, to sending funds to family abroad, overseas workers repatriating their funds back home to the family. So our ideal client is anybody. It's not a question of high net worth or what have you. You know, we have access to over 35 currencies, and we're licensed to send funds or receive funds from over 50 countries around the world. So the actual mechanics, it's easier to say what we can't do than what we can do. But our ideal client is just somebody who just wants to a better fit for them. He's not happy with this one size fits all. Wants somebody, because a simple example, you're in the United States. You guys have your banking system, you've got an account number, you've got SWIFT number, you've got routing number. The UK banking system doesn't work to routing number, doesn't have a SWIFT number. So if you're sending a payment to the UK, would you know what information you need? And would you know if it looked right when it arrives on the client's email? Or, you know, it's got too many digits, it hasn't got too many digits, there's something missing. Would you know? You probably wouldn't. So how comfortable would you be pressing those buttons away, paying the money out in dollars and hoping that the pounds get there, hoping that the euros get there, hoping that the Swiss francs get there? And then the real problem that's arisen in the last couple of years since we've opened, Scott, is a lot of my competitors don't even have a telephone number on their website. So let's say that you've done all that, and 3 days later, your client in the UK phones you up and says, I thought you were going to pay me, Scott. Where's my money? But I sent it 3 days ago. Well, it hasn't arrived. You go onto the platform, there isn't even a telephone number to call. Now what do you do? With Cosmos, I'll tell you what you do. You don't waste any time on there. That's not your problem. That's my problem. You phone me up, you WhatsApp me, you message me, you email me, whatever's most convenient, and you say, Tony, client in the UK is saying he hasn't received the money. Can you check it out, please? Leave it to me. That's my job.
I love that. So as we wind down before I get to my last question, if someone listening to this, whether they're stateside here in the U.S. or abroad somewhere in the world, and someone is interested in learning about you guys at Cosmos and how you can help them, what's the best way for people to either find you online, on social, and how should they connect with you?
The website, www.cosmoscurrencyexchange.com. It's got a contact us page on the website. We've even got a WhatsApp button on there, so you can message through that as well. I use WhatsApp a lot. I find the telephone quality excellent. Or by social media, mainly LinkedIn. Or by email again, TonyRedondo@CosmosCurrencyExchange.com.
Awesome. So all the information that Tony mentioned in today's episode will be in the email that you got, obviously, to listen to this today. It'll be in the description on the YouTube channel. It'll also be in the description of this episode on all the major listening platforms, so you're not going to have to go too far. And if this really interests you and if it really intrigued you to want to learn more about Tony and Cosmos, I do suggest that you reach out to him. So, Tony, final question before we sign off today. What does success truly mean to you?
Two things. In the short to medium term, simply treating other people how I like to be treated. Second, long term, to leave my daughter with a legacy.
I could not. It's so funny. You know, my mom always told me growing up, and she still does, you know, if you want to be treated kind, you have to treat people kind first, because people will treat you the way that you treat them. But to your point, a friend of mine that wrote a book called Everyday Legacy, Canadian author by the name of Cody Shewin, he talks about living your legacy while you're still living, not when you're gone. And I think it's really important. And same thing, I'm a father as well. And, you know, we want our son seeing what we're doing and the impact that we're making to inspire him to want to leave his legacy behind. So I love both of those sentiments. I could not agree more. And Tony, I just wanted to thank you again for taking the time today to share your wisdom and all of the information about Cosmos with my audience. And I know they're going to take so much away from this, and hopefully they'll have that mindset shift necessary to really start thinking about what they want for their future financially and how they can make their money work for them. And I do hope they reach out to you. So Tony, thank you again for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. So again, all the information on Tony and Cosmos will be in the description of this episode. And again, please do support us. We appreciate everything that you're doing. Let us know what you loved about this episode in particular, or if there are any people that you would like me to interview, always reach out, make some suggestions. We are always open to feedback, because that's how we want to make this podcast to be its best, by hearing from you. So everyone, please enjoy the rest of your days. Love and gratitude. And I'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for checking out today's episode. If you could, please support this podcast by hopping over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any place that you're listening to this. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you loved most and what you would like to hear more of. But also, if you would like to learn how to take your business to the next level, whether it's using LinkedIn or working directly with myself and Nancy in our intimate group coaching programs, you can head over to www.thetimetogrow.com or scottaron.net to learn more. Thank you again for your support, love and gratitude, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.